Hey, I'm Jack Paul.
Yo, 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 it's your boy Travis J.
It's Darren Isaacs.
Hey, this is DJ Hannibal in the mix.
Hey, Soul Nation, this is IFBB Pro, Neil Hamilton.
This is Kadar Clark.
Hey, what's up, you guys? This is your boy Nate from Nate Bates.
What's up, beautiful people? It's your boy Stack.
Family, how you doing? It's your boy Todd Marshall, your next generation leader and your musical entrepreneur.
This is Addis Hyland, founder of the Bahamian Icon Awards, and you're listening to
It's Your Time to Soar.
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 You're tuned into It's Your Time to Soar.
It's your time to soar.
It's your time to soar.
With my brother, Felici Ranger.
Hello and welcome to It's Your Time to Soar, where we inspire, motivate, and impact. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about cyberbullying. Now, I have a young man with me. He is an awesome ministry leader. He's a great gospel artist, and his mission is all about hip hope. Mr. Stacks.
Yeah.
Welcome to Soar Nation.
I'm ready to soar, bro. What's good?
All is well, man. All is well. For all of our listening audience who may not know you, and I don't think that there might be many people who don't know about you by now.
You'd be surprised.
can you give them just a brief bio about yourself, origin story?
What up? Who is Stacks? Well, I'm a musician, songwriter, speaker. I'm more importantly a follower of Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost. I've been serving my country in youth ministry for about 8 years. So I'm pretty much known like throughout the church community. But now I am now taking that ministry to the social conscious environment. You know, so I'm just a young man that loves God, hip-hop artist, speaker, songwriter, and, you know, hopefully by the end of this year, full-time social media influencer. Yeah.
awesome. I remember years ago, back in school days, you know, we always had bullies. You know, and these bullies were always persons who tried to find a person who would seemingly be weak, and you know, they would always come in numbers as well, and they would try to harass you to get money or just to try to take advantage of somebody. Did you have any experiences like this? Or see it happen to anybody in your school days?
Thinking about school, what 10 years ago, I don't think I've personally had encounters consistently with bullies, like people that would take my lunch or would hit me or anything like that. But I think I came up in that generation that loved to tease. And you know, I say that you putting your hands on someone and you saying something to hurt someone, it's on the same level.
One and the same.
So I think my generation was more of a, bruh, where you get a shirt from? Bro, what are you wearing? Why are you wearing those shoes? And I think I was more of the instigator. I think I did some bullying. So I wouldn't say I experienced it, but I think I took part in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And now, you know, fast forwarding it to 2019, you know, you have persons who we're in the technology age now, where we have the internet now. Well, for someone like you, just come to school 10 years ago, you probably know internet all your life.
yeah.
But someone like me, internet was the furthest thing from our minds back in about 1996. That was the furthest things from our mind. Like, we didn't know that even existed in 1999. You know, but now you have persons who go on the internet. They actually create these false name, false accounts, and they just hide behind a computer screen, and they end up being so mean.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
No.
Sounds familiar.
Sounds familiar, right? So let me ask you a question. Do you feel as though bullies are born, or are they created?
That's a very, very good question. I personally feel like no one is born anything. I feel like we eventually become. And just like we say, hurt people, I believe that bullied people bully people. So I think that bullies come from broken homes where they are bullied. And any one of us can become a bully. Like, I could leave this show right now, go on Facebook, create a meme, it goes viral. I'm a bully. I don't think no one is born a bully. I think it's something that we choose and we become.
Right. Right. Yeah, because you actually have persons, they don't realize that you know, just like how you said earlier, their words.
Yeah.
Their words are power.
Yeah.
Their words are sharper than a two-edged sword. And words are like a two-edged sword.
Yeah, words are powerful.
Could be
trust me, I know.
Because you know, I did a video on YouTube back in November, and the name of it was Words Are Power.
Yeah.
You know, and when you speak words in the atmosphere, you know the word of God said you shouldn't, when the word of God said when words come out your mouth, they're supposed to edify,
uplift. Yeah
uplift, build up. It's never supposed
tear down.
Never supposed to tear down, you know. So why do you think people do it intentionally, unintentionally? What do you think?
You mean like say things that make no sense? Or to be honest, you know, if we could talk real, you know, this is a real podcast, so we can be real.
Right.
I feel like we all were born with a need to feel powerful. As weird as it might sound, I feel like we all were born with that thing in us.
Right.
Regardless of your background, regardless of your origin or whatever, I feel like we just have that need where we want to feel accepted, or we want to feel empowered, or we want to feel powerful.
Right.
I honestly feel like a lot of people that say negative things, they do it because it makes them feel empowered.
Right.
Like, you know, think about it. You're at school and someone slips and falls, and you know, you're the cool person. After recess, you're talking about it, everybody's laughing. You know, I feel it's a sense of empowerment. Like, bruh, this picture just went viral.
Right.
Wait, I ain't been saying nothing on social media in a minute.
Right.
I just posted this meme. I'm
right.
Popular. Okay, let me do a part two. So I feel like it really comes from that place of wanting to feel empowered. And I call it false empowerment. Because if I gotta pull someone down to feel empowered, what happens when I attempt to pull someone down and then I'm moved by it?
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What happens when you make fun of the guy and he says, "Thanks, I know."
Right.
You're now affected. You know. So I feel like it's us wanting to feel empowered, man.
Right. I know you are a ministry leader, and you are also a gospel artist as well.
Yeah.
How are you using your music to help bring self-awareness to cyberbullying?
Well, to be honest, I feel like right now I'm at that place in my, I guess, career, or at that place where I'm now taking the light to the dark places. Like, if you follow me on social media, you would see that I make a lot of songs or a lot of videos or a lot of content about suicide and depression and anxiety.
Right.
Because people that deal with those things, they're like right there at the top of the list when it comes to being bullied.
Right.
So for me, it's making music that speaks about stuff like that, you know, and using whatever influence that I do have. I feel like this year, I need to get out in the community more. I need to get out in the city more, because I feel like people abroad are more aware of this awareness than people over here. So I definitely need to work on that. But that's how I've been using my influence to talk about stuff that matters, you know.
All right, awesome. So have you been able to connect with persons who are part of any youth movements, or are you going to be doing this through the ministry you're a part of?
I've had opportunities to like go in schools, but to build concrete relationships with organizations and companies, I never really had that opportunity.
Right.
So it probably would be like presenting it to, like, say, someone in government and saying, hey, look, this is what we want to do and this is what I want to accomplish, and, you know, let's go out in the schools, cause that's where bullying is most relevant right now. So right. I think I would probably take that route, you know, go through the government or the school or something like that. Or even the church. The church going to be all for it. So,
oh, they're yeah. also relevant.
They're going to be all for it.
That's straightforward.
Yeah.
Trust me. Do you have any, you have any tracks that our listeners could probably be able to check out, download,
regarding
purchase?
Regarding bullying?
Yes.
Yeah, I actually have a song. I actually have an EP out. My EP is called Alexander. So if you type in STACS, Stacks, Alexander, you'll be able to find it on YouTube. If you don't want to buy music like a lot of people and you just want to take the video off YouTube and convert it. I can't believe I'm saying it. You can YouTube STACS Bully. It's a music video that speaks about being bullied, the perspective of someone being bullied, and then most importantly overcoming it. So shout out MJF and Micah and everybody that helped put that together. So yeah.
Awesome. So what when you created that track, when you created that video as well, what actually inspired you to create it?
Well, actually, I think it was year before last, I was sitting with a former mentor of mine, and, you know, he was like, you know, you've made such a strong impact in the gospel community, man. How about we start to talk about some social issues? So right. I just started writing, like, these social songs that I never put out. But he was actually responsible for this navigation, because he was like, man, let's talk about some social issues, man. Let's take this light outside the church. And at first I was like, you want me to make music that won't say Jesus? So of course I had to seek God about it. And I was reminded of the Great Commission. Right. Go ye into all the world.
Right.
You know, so, you know, becoming, like Paul would say, you know, to win some, I became them. Not right. saying that I conform to that lifestyle, but I presented the gospel in a way by which they could understand. Right. So now, when people hear my social issue songs, the question is always, bro, you're so inspirational. What's your motivation? Well, I'm a Christian.
Right.
So. Yeah.
The bait.
That's the bait. You know what I'm saying?
Fishes are men.
So that's definitely the approach that I've been taking. And then, it's funny how you said early in the podcast, you said that 2019 bullying and bullying back then is different. What really, really told me, like what really, really pushed me to put the song out when I put it out last year, July, I didn't know that bullying was so crazy to the point where people killed themselves. Like, I was on Facebook and like day after day after day, it was 8-year-old hangs herself. And I'm like, what does an 8-year-old, like, I literally read a story where 8-year-old, she got into a fight, they recorded it, they uploaded it to a social media site, her parents found her hanging from a rope in a closet, and then put on life support. Then I'm logging in again, 12-year-old kills herself, then I'm logging in again, 8-year-old kills himself, and I'm like, whoa, what is going on?
Right.
So, it was number one, wanting to reach more people, and most importantly, number two, realizing that bullying is something that we throw around so carelessly, but it's not something to be thrown and tossed about so carelessly. Like, you have kids that say, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm gonna hang myself today. And I dare you to Google right now, bullying murders or bullying suicides. You got the kids on YouTube that don't want to talk. They got the little white paper with the message, my name is, right. I deal with this. And then you find out in the news that you have kids that kill themselves. Like, they go live on Facebook and like, this is happening.
Wow.
So when I was like, okay, we definitely need to put this song out.
Right.
And, you know, talking to you about it, I think that we need to put it out some more. I don't think I really put 110% behind really getting that out there as much as it should be, but that was the motivation, you know?
Right.
It's happening.
Yeah.
8 years old?
Yeah.
Facebook Live? It's happening, bro. Like, you would be surprised and see what Google shows you when you type in bullying suicides.
Yeah.
Young kids.
Wow. So I mean, how do we fight against this cyberbullying? How do we do it?
Bro, this is an excellent topic and an excellent discussion. My thing is this. Majority of these kids that take their lives, a majority of these kids that go off the deep end, quote unquote, when it comes to bullying, they're school kids. So I'm trying to figure out what goes on in a school that has a school so overpopulated or overcapacitated to the point where administration or someone doesn't see this. Like, is the school under surveillance? How is one person being bullied to the point where they want to commit suicide and no one knows? You might say, well, maybe the child isn't speaking. But these campuses should be monitored.
Right.
So who's looking after these people?
Right.
And that was always the thing that really made me say, you know what, this world is just sick. Because how is it social media knows that you're being bullied before your principal?
Right.
I feel like from a school aspect, they need to double the surveillance. If they need police or security, they need people on campus.
Right.
And then we need these kids to feel safe. I feel like a lot of kids would say, you know what, I'm going to get bullied, go home and handle it myself, because my principal ain't going to do nothing about it. My teacher ain't going to do nothing about it. We need to be authentic, safe places. You know what? Let's talk. And not just with the victim. Call a meeting with the bully and the victim, because when we think about bullying, we always think about the victim.
Right.
But the bully might be getting bullied.
Right.
Making themselves a victim.
Right.
So why don't we just sit down, get to the root of everything.
Right.
Separate the two and then find out what's going on, because we don't give the bully the benefit of the doubt. A lot of these kids out there bullying, some of them come from homes where if they don't bully, they don't eat. But right. You wouldn't know that. Oh, this is just a troubled kid. Suspend them. And they're gonna go out there and do even worse. So I think that we need this with the school system, we need more surveillance. Because I'm still trying to figure out how is someone bullied repeatedly to the point where they commit suicide.
Right.
And the internet finds out before the school. And when the school finds out, they say the same thing. We didn't know. Weird.
Right.
Like, I watched a story with this mother crying on camera because her 8-year-old son was shown on camera being beaten up by older boys and then hangs himself. And I'm like, what is going on? And all of this happens during the time when I went to put out the song, because I was on a full-blown
right.
bullying research. So the majority of this really starts with parents, guardians, and schools.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. Me personally, that's what I think.
Wow. Because I believe that you know, with everything going on the surface, there's some roots, there's some underlying issues.
Yeah.
In the homes, it has to be the homes. You cannot deal with these type of issues without dealing with the homes.
Yeah.
There's something there has to be something going on in the homes that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, me as a parent, you know, my goal every single day, and my prayers every day that I could be the father, I could be the husband, I could be that protection and create an environment home where you know all of my kids can feel, they can feel secure, they can feel safe, they can feel protected. And it's sad to know that at home is where I would think most of these problems start.
Yeah, yeah. You have a lot of kids being the parents.
Yeah.
Do what you want to do.
Right.
And then when something happens, oh, my one good child, or my it's baby.
My one,
you know,
good
yeah.
son. My yeah. one son.
Yeah.
It's my good, one
great,
son.
Great discussion. We don't feel it too much in the Bahamas.
No.
We don't take things much seriously.
No.
Wait a God forbid kids start being bullied to the point where they start taking their lives. I wonder what would happen. What would be the response of the government? What would be the response of society? Because you could watch a story and say, oh, wow, that's so sad. But it's not your family member or your sibling. Like, bro, I didn't know that 8-year-olds took their lives, bro.
Right.
I never noticed. This was shocking to me.
Right.
I'm like, whoa. Some people, let's read comments. You're ugly. You're stupid.
Yeah.
That day gone. That night gone. Mm.
Guess what? You know something was an awesome idea? I think every Bahamian artist, like the same way how they have the We Are the World, every Bahamian artist, no matter what genre music you do, and just create 100 imagine 100 Bahamian artists, or maybe 100 Bahamian artists from different music genres come together, combine as one to sing one powerful song speaking about these kind of things. What kind of impact that'll make?
Imagine if 50 artists, mainstream artists from the States, do the same thing.
Okay.
So it makes me think that it's not gonna be done because everybody have their own personal agenda.
Right.
Imagine Justin Bieber, them all them boys from One Direction, Katy Perry, Kanye, Snoop, Wiz, all that's come together and make a song about bullying and anti-bullying. It's not gonna happen because they all do some sort of bullying in their own right.
Right.
Your music encourages people to go out there and do stupid things.
Right.
So you're not gonna stand behind that. So my thing is, the people with influence, we got too many people, too many influential people that use their power. It doesn't make any sense. They use their power for negativity.
Right.
And that Bahamian idea, it can happen. But I would want to see that happen where there's a mutual agreement between the gospel and the non-gospel.
Right.
Because what could happen is everybody wants... We did something like this before a couple years ago.
Right.
But it was all Christian.
That's what I mean. That's
so
what
imagine
I mean.
If we everybody. Put the pride to the side. Because right. Ain't nobody selling no records.
Right.
Everybody working 9 to 5. What do right. we have to lose?
Right.
Come together and do a free song for the culture. It doesn't even have to be for sale. Just put it out for free.
Right.
I'm for it. I think it's possible.
Yeah, man. Hello, listeners, I don't know if you know any Bahamian artists, international artists. We need to come together. We need to come together and create a song, create a track.
Yeah.
Because everyone who is listening to this podcast so far, they actually know that. They actually know that my whole vision is to inspire, motivate, and to impact. And I feel as though if something like this was created on the mainstream, we ain't talking about no basement music. We talking about mainstream.
A real song with a real video.
Million views.
And put together and make it happen. So maybe the issue is we're divided. That
right.
could be the issue.
Yeah.
Because that idea is amazing, sir.
Right.
That is amazing. That would shift a nation.
That would shift.
That might be something. That might be something that the government might make might give us a march.
Right.
We could do an anti-bullying march, and the government push it to all the schools, and we could literally have a bunch of motorcades and trucks or whatever, just coming to different communities.
Right.
Pushing out songs that speak about that, giving out T-shirts, donating.
Right. Right.
What else do we have to lose?
Yeah.
The most we do when we come together is some foreign person coming over for a concert or election.
Right.
A lot of Bahamians out here on this rock, bro.
Yeah. You wouldn't believe it, but yeah. Trust me. You see at the morning time how that traffic is being set up?
Squad. Squad of Bahamians.
Or even election time. You see, when election time, you try to figure where these people come from.
Squad.
They must be bring people from the States for this thing.
Score of folks.
Man,
that's a good idea.
It's crazy. It's crazy, man.
I
guess what? It could be done, you know. It's just about, like you say, putting pride aside.
Yeah.
Because pride, I think pride is something that is stopping a lot of individuals from doing things that'll make an impact, because everyone has their own private agendas.
Yeah,
they have things that's about self. Me.
You
me.
Might spit more bars than me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to go before him.
No,
let me go.
You know,
it don't make no sense. We working 9 to 5s, bro.
Right.
Your bank account is probably just the same amount as mine.
Yeah, telling you.
What we got to lose?
Telling you. I guess what? You know what happens too? Because I just listen to We Are the World could be a week ago now, and I am listening to two. You know, it's the one back in 85, and then it's the one back in 2010, I think.
Yeah,
it was.
With Bieber and Wayne and T-Pain. Those.
And when you hear it, everyone brought their own style. They wasn't trying to be someone else.
Yeah.
Whatever their style was, especially you watch the old one, you could really catch the sense of what they was doing. Whatever your style of music was, whatever your flow was,
yeah,
that's what you brought. They wasn't asking you to do something different from what you normally do.
They should have kept Wayne off that. They should have kept Wayne off that latest one, though. And they shouldn't have not let Bieber start it first.
They should have
Bieber, Bieber hardly hit puberty in that. Wow, that was 2010.
What time? Trust me, wow. Time is rocking.
Wow.
And rolling. I guess what? You won't believe this, right? When I actually started the podcast, even before the podcast, when I started my YouTube channel, and how all that actually came about was I was off of social media for 3 months.
Yeah.
3 months. I was like, it was like a social media fast that I was on. I was only supposed to do it for a month, but it felt so good that first month, I said, you know what? I go another month. And that was like May. It started in May, so it was June, July, and September 1st was when I went back on social media. And when I went back on social media, I had a whole vision. I had things that I wanted to do, because it was like I detox everything out. I had a mission that I wanted to do. It was about the t-shirts. It was about the podcast was a part of the vision too, you know. But I didn't know exactly how I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
I know where I'm going with this is many persons value the opinions of others over their own opinion.
Yeah.
Of themselves.
Yeah.
Has this ever been a challenge or a struggle for you?
I think that's a journey, because I think culturally we're born into this society where I know what I should be doing, but I want to be sure, you know, it's ultimately rejection. You know,
right.
what will people say? What will people think? And the only way out of that is to do it anyway.
Right.
You know, it's basic ABCs. For me, when it comes to music or when it comes to my direction in ministry, once God says it, even if it doesn't sit well with me, I do it.
Right.
I think when it comes to my personal life, I think that's when I'm kind of like concerned about what people say. Like, for example, a friendship isn't the way it used to be. I wonder how it's going to feel when I see that person.
Right.
As opposed to the friendship has changed. I'm going to stay true to me. When I see that person, I don't have to do life with you, but I can be cordial. So right. I'm kind of like an overthinker. Like, man, things really changed. I wonder. And then eventually I wonder your way straight out of something that God may have told you to do. And
right.
it reminds me of Galatians 1:10, where Paul said, powerful scripture, he said that if I live for the approval of men, I would not be a servant of Christ.
Oof. Say that one more time, buddy.
If I live for the approval of men, I would not be a servant of Christ. That's Galatians 1:10. I used to quote it a lot back in the day.
Man,
so
good.
It's basically getting to that place where I wonder what Ranger could say. I wonder what Ranger could say. I wonder what Ranger could say. But God has already spoken. So
right.
even if this offends Ranger, he'll get over it. God said.
Right.
That's the journey that I'm on right now. But not with my music or my ministry, but my personal life.
Right.
If I date this person, will people talk? If I wear this, will people talk? If I go into an atmosphere and I know that there's a disagreement between you and I, but my boundary is until we discuss that, there will be no further conversations.
Right.
I wonder what people at the table are going to say when they see me not engage you as much. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So for me, that's... It pops up in my personal life.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a daily battle. And the only way out is to do it anyway.
Right. And think about it, you know, I think you have a song, Be Yourself.
Yeah.
Be Yourself. Be Yourself. You know what I mean? That's at the end of the day, that's what you have to do. It's not about It's not about other people. I'm not saying that you must intentionally try to hurt individuals.
Yeah.
But you just being you.
Yeah.
You just being you because you may come into a room, right? And they may be waiting on an explanation for something, right? But you don't owe them any explanation.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It is what it is. You don't have anything to explain. People think that you know they're supposed to explain to persons what happened and this thing and the next
what's
thing.
WhatsApp me, video chat me, why things ain't
right.
That's five.
No.
My whole thing is my old mentor used to always say this. Just don't be rude.
Right.
I don't need to be rude for you to know my boundaries.
Right.
So if you feel offended, I sleep good at night. I wasn't rude. You know, that's a very, very good question. Because if it affects us personally, it's going to affect us in our career choice. I wonder what people think. Let's stay true to you.
Yeah.
And do it afraid because it is scary. It is scary when me and Ranger used to be boys. Mm. And now the relationship has changed. And now I'm hanging out with other people. Me, I already know. Matter of fact, God has already told me that the season with Ranger is up.
Right.
But I know Ranger work in the mall. And I got to go to the movies. I got to pass Ranger with my new friends.
Right.
Wonder what Ranger would... No, I got to walk straight past with my new clique. The season is up, and I can't explain that to you.
Right.
That's what we need to get, and that's the journey that I'm on now.
Yeah.
I am on that journey of God said it, I don't care.
And guess what? That's powerful right there. Because I did a video, and I have a podcast talking about season, reason, and a lifetime.
Yeah.
And that is so important. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's so
good.
Right there.
That's real good.
That is so important right there. If everyone could encompass that, because you may have somebody come inside their life, right? And they might I can give you let me just give you an example. You know, back in about 2009, I think it was back in 2009. Long before I got married, long before I met my wife and everything, I was in a relationship with a young lady, and during this time, I had a lot of debt, 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 not death,
debt. Yeah. I was like, what's going on here?
Right, I had a lot of over my head. And she's my girlfriend at the time, and she came into my life and she helped me to get my finances back together. Mm-hmm. But what I realized now that I realized then was after and what in my mind was after she served the purpose, I should have cut the tie off and we go our separate ways. But then I carried further than I needed to go, and the relationship became toxic. It went from a purposeful relationship to a toxic one.
Mm-hmm.
So any of that ever happened to you before?
But you mean like that exact like relationships or relationships period?
Not it doesn't be girlfriend boyfriend. It could be anybody that you like. It could be a business relationship, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you're my boy, so you know I could be honest with you. There is this female that it's evident that I love and I do see a future with. But at the time when we connected, it was a bad time.
Right.
I was going through, she was going through. So when we got together romantically, it turned into years of, it was just toxic. Like, it was just unhealthy.
Right.
So something happened where enough was enough. There was no restoration or redemption after this. It was like, this relationship is over. You know, what is done is done. And a month or two after that thing that I thought would kill the relationship happened, because we're part of such a small community, we just started seeing each other again. And of course, I went to God, like, the toxic thing just happened. Like, the bomb just went off. Mm. Why am I still seeing this person? And then I saw this person again, and again, and again. Then my grandmother died. And before my grandmother died, the last picture my grandma commented underneath was her picture. So I said, you know what? Okay, God, this person is still around. And he had to tell me, okay, don't look at the situation from what it used to be. Mm. Where are you guys right now? How is the boundaries? Okay. how is your self-control? Okay. So he's like, that version of you guys are the past. Here and now, there's no danger. So now it's almost as if we never met each other from a romantic standpoint.
Right.
So some relationships get toxic.
Right.
And then some relationships get toxic and God restores those.
Right.
So then there are some relationships where enough is enough. So with the female relationship, that's still someone that I'm interested in. I'm following the voice of God on that.
Right.
But I actually had a mentor relationship, and I can't even go into details. That definitely cannot be restored. Too much manipulation, violation, like a very terrible story that I wouldn't share. I wouldn't really share that story. That's one of the relationships that would never, I think that you know. And then you have relationships where you just outgrow.
Right.
Why are you fighting to fit in a place where you no longer belong?
Right.
Your foot is a size 10, but you're still trying to squeeze into a size 5. Right. And then you're getting upset because it won't fit.
Right, exactly.
Your season is up. This is what I say. If your circle consists of people that speak about the very same things that you either struggle with or you're trying to get away from, season is up. How
right.
is it you're a drug addict? You're recovering drug addict.
Right.
And every time you with your boys, someone talking about they smoke this, they smoke that, they listening to stuff like that.
Right.
How is a relationship a God relationship if they feed in the very thing that you're in? How is it I'm struggling to stay pure and celibate and
right.
you guys always go back to when you used to have sex?
Right.
You've outgrown the circle. This
right.
is when you know that you found your circle.
Right.
Alex, didn't you say you was going to put on this event last year? This is a year later. What's going on with that event?
Right.
Alex, didn't you say you was going to invest this? It's been almost 3 months. What's going on with that? More
right.
importantly, Alex, you the church tonight? You the church on time? Those are the people you keep around.
Right.
So sometimes it's evident when the relationship is over, but you just want to keep fitting in.
Right.
And it goes back to valuing the opinions of others, because if my
right.
boys who was there before see me with my new friends that are now pointing to me spiritually,
right.
what will they say?
Mm-hmm.
You hanging around chickens, but you want to do what eagles do.
You want to soar.
it can't happen. And I told God, I refuse to let December 31st, 2019 meet me in the chicken pen. Watching all the eagles fly over. So you know.
Wow. Yeah.
Even if you listen to this podcast right now, you know when seasons are up.
Right.
But you just don't want to let go. It's evident, bro.
Wow.
It's
wow.
evident.
Wow.
How is it you're trying to brand, inspire, motivate, impact? And every time you bring an idea to a friend, cool. Yeah, brother. Do what you want to do. Let's hang out tonight. And when we hang out, you talk about your inspire, motivate, impact again. They change
right.
the topic. How is that a friendship that I want?
Right.
What are you bringing to the table besides a good time
right.
and a drink?
Right. Yeah.
Purpose friendships.
Yeah, definitely.
Purpose.
It's all about adding value, you know. That's what I'm saying. Go ahead.
That's good. That sums it up.
Right.
My pastor says two things. If they don't add value to you, they shouldn't have access to you. And number two, when you limit your access, your value increases.
Right.
Bro, I'm telling you
That's
what
good.
I know. When you
That's
pull
good.
Away and start working on your sorties.
Right.
And they catch Kobe. They see a picture with Kobe Bryant or someone.
Right.
Wearing that shirt. What's going on, bro? Can't hear from you. Why? Because you've limited your access and their value is
right.
now increased.
Exactly.
It happens.
Exactly.
Sometimes you gotta let people see what they're missing. You know
right.
the worst part about it is for them?
Right.
You might never get access again.
Mm-hmm.
There's not gonna be a business relationship now where
right.
where I used to be your boy, you gotta now pay me.
Right.
Sometimes you have to limit access to know your value.
Because I remember back in 2012. I came to 2012 and one of my goals, or one of my main goals, was our vision for 2012 was to be a model. And at this time, keep in mind now, I'm 40 now, so this time I was 34, you know, and I didn't know this terminology then about valuing your opinion of yourself more than opinion of others. All I knew was whoever I told this to had to be someone who I know was going to inspire me, motivate me, and back me. So I didn't tell her, I didn't share that information with just anybody. And January went past, February, March, April, way until August. And during this time was like my, it was like my cave season, and I was just perfecting modeling and doing a lot of test shots and things of that nature. No one really knew who I was, but it wasn't until I got an opportunity to be a part of Mr. Caribbean 2012. It's an international competition held in Jamaica.
Yeah.
And then when I came back from that, everybody wanted me a part of this. Everyone wanted to be part of the next thing. But all this time, I was telling them that, hey, this is what I want to do. Yeah. Let me be a part. But they was like, nope, no sir.
Where, who, if you, God forbid, would have go into a state of depression right now, who in your contact list can you call? Those are the purpose circles. There are some people that I go through, I'll go through something, I wouldn't even pick up the phone to call them. Call them, and we used to be close, we used to do everything together.
Right.
But now, I wouldn't call you because that purpose, the purpose may have been fulfilled.
Right.
Some people are lifetime.
Right.
Some people are lessons.
Right.
That's real. So the person that you think is the one might just be the lesson.
And let me tell you something.
Oh, that's good.
That's good right there. And let me just say something right there. It's like, you remember the days in school when you go take an exam, right? And you took the exam and you failed the exam.
Yeah.
Well, you can't move on until you pass that. You get past that, and that's the same thing. You may think, okay, I had a failed relationship. I had a failed relationship with this person. So I leave them and I get over here. No, wherever you go in, you get to take that same test again. So you might as well stay there.
Yeah.
Pass the test, and then after that, if you're thinking about going somewhere else, then you go. But you can't duck the test. It's still coming.
Yeah.
You gotta take it.
Yeah.
To move on.
That's good.
You gotta do it. You gotta pass the test.
That's good.
You gotta pass the test. Gotta pass the test.
That's good.
So I just want you to take a trip with me back in time right now to Stocks about 10 years ago. I think you'll be 17, right?
Doris Johnson, Yo, I'm old now, bro. I'm old, bro.
You're almost 3-0, man. You're almost 3-0. The 3-0.
Dang.
If you were able to go back in time right now to your 17-year-old self, what would be one principle or one nugget you would give?
Use discernment. A, use discernment. B, use discernment. 3, more discernment. I would tell my 17-year-old self, bro, you're about to graduate. You're about to step into this world. Use discernment.
Yeah, that's good.
That's the big. I wouldn't even talk about build your future, you know, invest your money, you know. Now, use discernment, bro.
Yeah,
Fox.
That's powerful. That's it.
That's all I have to tell him.
That's it. The end.
You learn that, bro, then at 27, life will be better for you.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome, right there. Tell me about books. Do you have any favorite books you want to recommend to our listening audience?
I'm honestly not much of a reader, bro. I'm not like a book guy. I think the only book that I've kind of read, Leadership 101, John Maxwell.
That's my guy.
That's a real good book.
That's my guy,
John. But John is the plug.
Yeah.
That was like the first book that I kind of got.
Yeah.
I was blessed with it by someone from Youth Ministry.
Right.
So I definitely would recommend Leadership 101 by John Maxwell. I'm more of an article guy. I read articles.
Read articles?
PDF. Hard physical books.
Right.
Nah, not my thing. I need to start getting into reading more.
How about video? Well, I actually do more. I do more audiobooks than more than anything. Because I'm always doing something. So I like to put my headphones in and I just jam. You know? So how about videos? Do you have any videos you like to watch?
A powerful, if I could think about a powerful video, if the audience isn't Christian, they might not like it, but there's a sermon by Dr. Matthew Stevenson called A Miracle in the Memory.
Right.
It's real, real good. And it basically speaks about us needing healing the most in our memory, and
right,
how we look at new things, but they feel like old things because we're looking at it through the filter of memory.
Right.
And how God has given us the ability to forget. So even though you are hurt, you have the ability to forget. So I would definitely recommend that. And then there's also a sermon with Stephen Furtick and T.D. Jakes. Speaks about vision.
Awesome.
It's awesome. So I would recommend those two videos.
All right. Awesome. Anything else? You look like you're thinking about something. About one more.
I watch a lot of videos, bro. Like, yeah, I think those two would be
those ones are good ones, right?
You would leave like, wow.
Yeah, trust me. That the one vision with T.D. Jakes and I think I watched that.
Bro.
I think I watched that one before.
Bro, that's nice.
I think I watched that one before. So I think the latest one I watched with those two together was when he was promoting this book. So
yeah, boom.
That was a good one too.
That's it right there.
That's right there.
Yeah,
yeah. That was an awesome one. Do you have any favorite apps that you use for personally or business?
Instagram.
All the way.
I'm always on Instagram. I use Instagram. I use Font. It's a video editing app that allows you to put borders around your videos and then put text on it.
Text, yeah.
And I use InShot. I use that to like make the canvas for my videos and then also put like little writing on the video. And what else do I use? Sometimes I use Pick Play Post. And most importantly, what I record my videos with, it's called Pro Movie Recorder.
Right.
It's actually an app that lets you control the level of your lapel mic, because with an iPhone, when you plug it in directly, I think the mic is automatically set to 100. So mm-hmm. when I first bought my mic, I'm like, bro, this mic is trash. What's going on?
Right.
Then I found the app. It actually lets you to adjust the gains inside the actual app. So I could put my mic to like 50, 52. Only downside is the video comes out saying short by capture video, whatever. The app, they trademark it. But it's really essential. Like, if you could turn your actual iPhone mic down, that thing is actually good quality, bro.
Yeah.
The default level is 100. Wow. So I use that like for my videos now.
Solid.
Yeah.
That's solid, man. That's some good. I'm gonna need to
almost
get a few of those.
I got you, bro.
And to our listening audience, we're gonna also have those on the show notes as well. How can our listeners, people who want to get in contact with you, persons who want to subscribe to you, and just basically be a supporter, how are they able to do that?
Facebook, Instagram, SoundCloud, and Twitter, all are at I Am Stocks. That's it. You don't have to go looking long.
Right.
I use Instagram the most though, so at I Am Stocks, basically Stocks without the K, STACS.
Right.
And once you get there, you have like different social media sites embedded into that one. So I answer all my DMs all the time. People be like, OMG, you replied. I'm like, bro, what? Like, really? I be looking for DMs to go to go answer.
You be like, anyone? Did I miss one?
Good DMs. you know, because people like to go in the DM and wild out. But at I Am Stocks on everything. So yeah.
Right.
Best way.
Awesome.
This is fun.
All right, guys. And as I always say, if you haven't heard these words before, know that I believe that you can soar.
Woo! Bars.
I believe I can soar. Thank you for listening to It's Your Time to Soar. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review.